for joining us for another lesson taught by Dr. Jeffrey Harris, Senior Pastor of Antioch Fellowship Church in Florence, South Carolina. We are reaching the lost, making disciples, and enjoying life. We pray that this lesson is a blessing to you as you walk in your God-given purpose. Now, here is the message.
And the title of today is Don't Abort Your Vision. Don't you throw in the towel. Amen. Don't you quit no matter how hard it get. God gave you a vision, then he going to help you carry it out. Amen. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you quit. If God gave you a vision, he going to help you carry it out. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9. When you're there, say, I'm there. Now, these principles can be applied in every area of life. It could be applied in your home life, could be applied in the church. So I'm kind of speaking for a twofold meaning today, in our personal lives and in the ministry. Look at verse number 16. What's it? Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 9 says this, and a vision appeared to who?
Paul.
When? And a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, the first thing I want you to see is that in a vision that God gives you, God gonna give you that vision because somebody else needs your help. See, the vision that God gives you is not just about you accomplishing the vision. It's so that you can help somebody else. Everything God does in our lives is always so we can help somebody else. Amen. Amen. He said, now watch this again, verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he, meaning Paul, has seen the vision, immediately we, now I want you to shift, I want you to underline he and we, because I'm going to show you something. Vision is given to one person, given to the leader of your home or the leader of the church or the leader of the organization, whatever, is given to one person, but it takes a team effort to bring the vision to pass. It's just like in the home. God may give the husband something, but it takes that wife working along with that husband to bring that vision to pass. Are you listening to me? Now, I want you to see this because a lot of time we have division because we have two visions in one place, and that'll never work. Amen. Now, where there are no defined leader, there could be no unity. I said it again. That's why the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King had the vision. Now we celebrate Martin Luther King holiday because he had the vision, right? But if it were not for the help, the vision would have never came to pass. Come on now. There was hundreds of people that marched with him. But we don't say nothing about the hundreds of people that marched with him. We talk about him. And nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying no person can fulfill a vision by themselves. But you got to have unity if you're going to fulfill the vision. Because what happens if you don't have unity, you have a disunity, a division. Two vision is always division. Amen, somebody. Now, watch this now. We go from Paul seeing the vision to we. That means from the visionary to the vision carriers. I said it again. From the visionary to the vision carriers. Somebody got to carry the vision, right? Write the vision, make it plain. They who read it may run with it. Now, watch this good. Now, after he, meaning Paul, has seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called not only Paul, but us. Us. See, spreading the gospel is a team effort. Spreading the gospel is a team effort. Are you listening to me? It's not a one-man show. It's just like in the home. It takes a team to rear the children. It takes a team. Come on now. But everybody must be working together. And somebody got to lead. You got to have a defined leader. If you don't have a defined leader, you'll never have unity in anything you do. Amen, somebody. And a defined leader must take responsibility to lead. That's why I say a lot of times, if men don't lead, women will take that responsibility and they will lead. Amen. And they'll get more done than that man if he don't lead. Are you listening to me? I didn't say dictate, because all of us know how to dictate. Now, somebody don't want to talk with me today. That's all right. We good. Everybody say we good. See, because you're a leader does not mean you need to be a dictator. A leader should not be a dictator. A leader never had to force people to follow him. He lead the people. He lead in love and the people follow. At the home, same way in the home. That's why the Bible says, love your wife. See, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So when you love, you lead, you love, then she, family follows. Are you listening to me? But we forget to love, we go to submit. See, we want to dictate without loving. Ain't nobody work with me right now. Ain't nobody want to work with Pastor right now. That's all right. We still okay, though. We still, everybody all right. Are you listening to me? See, anytime you have a spirit of control that's not of God. See, control is not of God. See, slavery was not of God. Because people was controlled. Anytime you held against your will. Are you listening to me? So vision take a team effort. I said all that because I want to hit the church, home, business, whatever it is. You can use these principles in every area. In any business, if you're having you got a business, if there's no defined leader, then you're going to have division. Amen. Now watch this now. He said this. That verse number 10 again. Now, after he, meaning Paul, has seen the vision, immediately we, team effort, sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us, not just Paul, but us, to preach the gospel to them. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news, not bad news. The gospel is not going to hell. That's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. Going to hell is not good news. I said that again. Going to hell ain't good news. The good news is God loved me just the way I am. Amen. Good news is if I'm sick, I can be made well. Come on, somebody. That's good news, isn't it? We hear so much bad news on TV. Sometimes we think bad news is good news. But any news come from God got to be good because God is, he's what? Good. So any news come from God must be what? Good news because God is what? Good. He can't be anything else. We can try to make him something else, but doesn't mean he's going to be it because we try to make him that. He's good. So in the vision, the same way. You lead by love and the family, whoever will follow. Amen, somebody. We can't make anybody do anything. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. Don't abort your vision. Don't throw in the towel because things ain't working the way you all think they ought to work. No, you stick with it. Amen. Proverbs 28, when you get there, say, I'm there. Look at verse number 18. Is I'm right? Is that 28 and 18? Let me make sure I'm right. All right, that 20. Let me see. No, it's 29. Let me go 29. 29:18. I don't know. I'm going to change this on my paper because I still say this every time I look at the note. I don't know. 29:18. Amen. Now, I could have done, but I didn't do that. I tried to be straight up with y'all. I could have took verse 18 and made that fit. But that ain't what we're talking about. Amen. Look at verse 18. Well, there are no vision. This is the regular King James said this. Well, there are no vision. The people does what? They perish. The first part of this verse, let me read this out of New King James. It said, well, there are no revelation, no understanding, no revealing, no uncovering. The people cast off restraint. And another translation said, the people run wild. See, vision, somebody write this down. I remember the vision keep me focused. Vision keep me from running wild. So if you got a vision for your home, right? Say you got a financial vision, right? So that vision gonna keep you focused, gonna keep you from spending, not spending too much. Come on, somebody. Gonna keep you in a budget if you have a vision. But if you don't have a vision, then you're gonna be off course all the time. Because the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint or they run wild. Now, in the local church, it's the same way. You gotta have a vision. And the vision is very simple at Life-Giving and Antioch, both the same vision. I teach the same thing. It's that we reach the lost, we make disciples, and we enjoy our lives. See, that's the thing about it. We done made this thing so hard, people don't enjoy the gospel no more. They don't enjoy being a believer. You got to enjoy being a believer. Amen. Doesn't mean you got to live outside of the word of God or live contrary to holiness. Doesn't mean that to enjoy your life. Amen. Because the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you know, you got to stay focused on the vision. So wherever I go, I'm really looking for an open door. The minister of Christ. But more than that, watch this. My life should be a living testimony. Okay, now that ain't good. See, we want to proclaim a lot. Come on, somebody. But we don't want to walk this life out. I said it again. We want to share the love of Jesus, but we don't want to show it. See, that's how we're going to accomplish the vision. That's how we're going to reach the lost. That's how we're going to make disciples. That's how we're going to enjoy life. The first thing we got to do, we embrace the love of Jesus. I'm loved regardless whether you love me or not. I know God loves me. Then you got to sell to that now. If you don't sell that now, you'll be looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on, somebody. And all the wrong people. And all the wrong things. So I settle whether anybody love me or not. I know Christ died for me. He loved me regardless. Amen. And then, since I know that now, I can show this love. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Not only that, then I can share it with people. Because what I say, look at me, must line up with what I do. Do it have no impact on people's lives? I said it again. What I say must line up with what I do. Because if it don't, then I have no impact in anybody's life. So you see, people, they can quote a lot of scripture, but they can't make application to the scripture they quote. So nobody really want to follow you. Amen. I love when people say, I remember when Jeff used to. Boy, I shout on that. My Lord, used to is good to me. See, y'all don't like that. I love to hear, see, I remember Jeff used to, man, used to? Look, they have identified that I don't do it no more. I don't have to say it. They saying it. I love that. Some of y'all get mad. Don't even be talking about what I used to do. You know, you used to do something too. I love it. Because you speaking, you ask the testifying of my life. I remember when he used to. That's good. That's shouting to you right there. Because I don't do that no more. Amen. Oh, man, that's good right there. Now look at Proverbs 28, and we already looked at that, right? Now, these three things we must have. In any vision, we got to have these three things. These three factors. Number one, we must have clear directions. Clear directions. Where are you going in life? Where are you going? What are you trying to get to? You can never reach your destination without clear directions. You can never reach your destiny in life, what God called you to be, who he made you to be, the purpose you on this earth. You can never fulfill that unless you have clear directions. For case in point, example, you want to get to our church in Florence. I can tell you how to get there, but if I don't give you clear direction, you'll be all over the place. That's how we vision. That's why people are all over the place. Y'all ain't working with me today. So you have had a clear direction of what God told you to do. Not what you want me to do, but what God has instructed me to do. Are you listening to me? Clear direction. How do I get clear direction, Pastor? I get clear direction from the Word of God. Watch this. And the Holy Spirit and those who I trust in my life. Some people you don't trust asking them things. See, if I don't know where I'm going, listen, both of us trying to get to Florence, trying to get to the church. If I don't know the way to the church, how am I going to tell you how to get to the church? Somebody has to have clear directions. Are you listening to me? So in life, whatever vision God has given you in your personal lives, come on, in your business, in your marriage, in your family, whatever, you have to have a clear direction. And you have to be able to articulate and share that direction with other people. Because you're going to need somebody to help you get there. Oh my God. Number two, we need an uncompromising commitment to righteousness. That means I'm not going to get the vision, to see the vision come to pass, I'm not going to be a crook. I'm not going to start running game with you, and I'm going to stop promising you stuff, and no, I came right, come on now. No, dude, that's what usually happens. You got to have an uncompromising commitment to righteousness. That I'm going to do the right thing regardless. And then I have to, watch this, be committed to the things of God based on what God told me to do. So a lot of times we try to do things because of what other people think about us. Or what how other people see us. God is saying it's going to take you 5 years to get there, but somebody else that you know got there in one. So now you're going to try to compete with the person that got there in 1 year. But God told you it's going to take you 5 years. So now you have compromised, come on somebody, your commitment to the things of God. Vision, somebody said vision. Number three, we need to have consistent financial support. Let me tell you this. Don't let religious people play games with you. Any business, any organization, anything that going to sustain itself, come on, somebody, long term must have financial support. If they don't, they're going to shut down. They're going to shut down. They don't have no other choice. So you have a vision. You don't play any religious game now. I'm talking about all you need is Jesus. No, you need Jesus and some money to do what you need to do. Why are we still doing this church stuff? Come on now. Just turn around and shout three times, your house is going to be paid for. No, it's not. You're going to have the same big bill next month come. If you don't get out and connect, come on, somebody, where you can prosper, increase. No, it's not going to work. Vision, consistent financial support. Now, let's look at this. Let's move to phase number two. Somebody said phase two. Now, number one, I got to understand that God is a God of provision. I got to understand that. I didn't say the provision, but God is a God of provision. The provision is not God. So I can't get my confidence and my trust in the provision. You got to catch this. So when I'm getting ready, I'm following God, right? I got a clear direction, right? And, you know, and I ain't compromising my commitment to things of God. And, you know, I got financial support. Come on, somebody. I got to know that God is the God of provision. I got to know that much. I cannot put my trust in the provision. I got to put my trust in the God of provision. Are you listening to me? That's how why a lot of people quit. A lot of people throw in the towel when it gets tough. Because they got their confidence in the provision. And not in the God of provision. Are you listening to me? So when the provision look slack, the provision look like they are not there, now you back out of the vision. If it's a God-given vision, then God must provide the provision to help bring it to pass. Are you listening to him or are you going home? Now, what is a vision, Pastor? Let me give you a definition so we all be on the same accord. Vision is an aim, goal. It's something God wants you to accomplish in the earth. Something God gives you. He wants you to bring this thing to pass. He's going to help us. But he gives you something. He said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to see this, and I want you to work towards bringing this thing to pass. And I'm going to provide for you. Somebody say he's a God of provision. Say he's a God of provision. Now, four things will be demanded if the vision going to come to pass are we'll accomplish the vision. These four things. Hear me good. Number one, I got to have faith. Not in the provision now. I told you that. I have to have faith in God. See, most of us have faith in what we can do. We have faith in what we can accomplish. You know, we have more faith in our praying than we do the God of prayer. Now, Pastor Gwen, you know, God told Pastor Gwen to pray 2 hours a day. That was good. I appreciate God doing it. Right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But God know who to tell to pray 2 hours a day. God know I wouldn't have made it. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have made it in 2 hours. I just wouldn't have made it. So, see, don't you know God know us? He know already know what we're going to do. So he won't ask you to do nothing to set you up. That ain't the kind of God we serve. Where do we think we get that kind of God for that going to set us up? That ain't just and fair. God know I can't. He know I can, but he know I'm not going to stick with it. I just pray, thank you, Lord. I believe I receive. I'm going about my business. I got a certain time I spent in fellowship with God now. Or in intercession. But it's sometimes people put too much faith in their working. See, you try to pray hard. That ain't gonna help. That God ain't gonna help. That heaven God, loud or soft. It's the faith. See, we got to believe. Are you hearing me? You hearing me? You going home now? What's y'all here? Y'all going home? Pastor Gwen told me one time, she said, baby, I got a pain right there. So I just healed and said, be healed in Jesus' name. She said, no, you got to pray longer than that. I said, baby. She said, say the word. I said, okay, baby. Isaiah 53, 4, and 5, you know, by your stripes, you're already healed in Jesus' name. You know, let's go. No, you pray too short. But it has to be in God. That's the catch. It has to be in God. My trust must be in the God that will provide. Come on now. It's good now for us to have, you know what I'm saying, a strong will and all that. That's good. But we can have a strong will all we want to, but a certain thing we just cannot do without God. Well, I'll prove that to you. Go with me in your Bible to the book of, go to Mark chapter 10. But go to Mark chapter 11 first. Go to Mark chapter 11 first. Whatever you need, God will provide. You just got to believe him. Amen. Believe and act on his word. Chapter 11, verse number 20, I believe. Let's see what verse is this. 11 and is it 20, baby? Yeah, yeah. We got verse 20. Are you there? Let you get there right quick. Because that's what happened a lot of times. We put so much trust in what we're doing and not in the God we're praying to. See, I'm not condemned if I don't look. Now, I read the Bible every day. Now, I'm real. I read Proverbs, Psalm every day because that's where I get my wisdom from, Proverbs. I get the inspiration from Psalm. As a man, I read it every day. Now, watch this now. But if I get busy and don't read it, I ain't condemned. Because I know it's not in how many times I read it, see. I read the Bible through a lot of time, but that don't mean nothing. Do I believe it? Amen. Do I believe what the Bible says? We working too hard. I forgot my confession, and you all to pieces. Man, I forgot to say my confession today. Lord, go, no, come on now. It's too much working to try to get God to do something. God already done what he's going to do. It's up to us to believe it. Everything God is going to do is in here. Anything outside of here is ain't God. So you don't need to talk about God doing a new thing. Oh, wait. It's a new move. Well, God been moving all the time. We just ain't caught up. Come on now. But it sounds so spiritual. It sounds so spiritual. It seems like it's so hard for us just to stick with the Bible. Just plain, you know, plain stuff. Are you? Mark chapter 11, look at verse 20. Number one, we got to have faith in the God of provision. We got to believe the Bible. Don't be condemned. Don't feel bad. I was like that before I got this revelation. I was like this, man. I had to go to a meeting with my business partner and spoke to man at the bank at a certain time. And I forgot to read my confession. Lord have mercy. I'm all a piece of all the way there. Number one, thy word has I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. That word is supposed to be already in there. So I don't have to have the paper. I'm speaking the word out of my heart. So I stop working so hard. I just start believing more. then what I believe, I obey it. That's all you can do. Take these three words out of your vocabulary today. God, when? Just throw that away. Because that ain't on you. That's God. It's on God. Second thing, God, how? Just take that out of your vocabulary. That's up to God. The third thing is, who you gonna use, God, to help me? That's none of your business. That's none of my business. My obligation, my responsibility is to obey the word of God. That's all I have to do. And believe what he says. He know when, he know who, and he know how he gonna get it to you. Hadn't y'all owed a bill before? I'm gonna get them. I know where I'm at, Mark chapter 11. I just want to help you. Hadn't you owed a bill before, and then you know folks that you know gonna let you have it? They're gonna lend it to you. You know that, right? You know. You say, now if I call this person, I know they're gonna lend it to me. You try to call them, phone go to voicemail. You got to be there at 5. It's already 4:30. You know I'm telling the truth. Then you get this call. So, well, I know they ain't picking up. Lord have mercy. Every time I call them, come on, this is what we say. Every time I call them, they don't never answer the phone. Now getting the attitude now. You know what I'm telling. Don't never answer the phone. I bet you I won't try to get him. He'll pick right up. Then they'll call somebody else. They're just so ignorant. They'll call some. Now I ain't said stupid. I said ignorant. Listen, they'll call somebody else, right? And they'll call somebody else, and they'll have that person to call you. It's like you ain't got caller ID. Why we got to grow up out of this kind of childish stuff as believers. Y'all don't like what I'm saying today. That's all right. I'm trying to tell you, we put too much confidence in people and not enough confidence in the God of provision. So right at 4:59, you get a phone call for somebody. Say, hey, you know, you was on my heart. You just on my heart. Is there a thing going on, you know, with you? You know, something, you know, you need or something? Now, don't get that pride at time. No, I got it. No, you ain't got it. You know, that's why you've been calling everybody. Been calling everybody. Now, y'all don't want to work with me. You've been calling everybody because you don't have it. The humble get the help. Just go, yeah, I do. I need $500 for to pay my light bill. $500 2 months, baby, behind, whatever. See, you didn't know who God was going to use to bring that to pass. So get that out of your vocabulary. Think of, you know who he's going to use. And most of the time, the people you help ain't going to help you no way. Anyway. They sure, but most time they don't. And when, that's God. I just need to have faith that God will provide. Are you listening to me? Somebody say amen. Now look at Mark chapter 11. Let me help you out here, because we need to get out of here in a minute. Everybody all right? Look at verse number 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. Now in the morning, well, they're 24 hours later, right? As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you have cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, look what he said. Have faith. He tell us, why did he do this? Because he know, as humans, he knew the disciples were going to try to have faith in everything else. They're going to try to have faith in the miracles that he performed. Come on now. Come on now. He turned water into wine. Come on. They're going to try to have faith in everything else except the God of provision. He said here, have faith in God. Not in your job. Not in your career. not in your education, but in God. And that's what we got to work up to, church. We got to work up to having that confidence, believing what God said. Are you listening to me? He will provide. Somebody said God is a provider. But he does it through who he want to use, not who you want him to use. See, the favor of God, look at me. Well, I'm getting ready to close in a minute. The favor of God works when I allow God just to be God. Go this side right here. The favor of God works when I allow God to be God. But see, when I try to make favor work for me, I get in God's way. For instance, I'm going to give you another example. Easy. You are around somebody who you know have money. And you have a need. Now, if God didn't tell you, go to that person, then you don't go to that person. What we do, we get around people and start talking about our lack. That's not favor, that's begging. I said it again. That's not favor. See, now I'm getting in God's way. Now I'm trying to tell God who to use. Now I'm trying to tell God when he going to bring it to pass. Now I'm trying to tell God where I need to be. Have faith. Jesus said this. Have faith in God. Why? Because what they were looking at earlier, the fig tree, Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it dried up. 24 hours later, they came out and saw the fig tree dried up. And they was amazed at that. He said, now, if you want to see this happen in your life, you can't, listen, have faith in the fig tree drying up, in the power. No, you got to have faith in me. Most people want the power, but they don't want to have faith in the one who produced the power. Most folk want the healing, but they don't want to have faith in the healer. Most of us want the gifts, but we don't want to have faith in the giver. Oh, my God. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing we need, y'all all right? Everybody all right? Yeah. You all right? Say, I'm all right. All right. All right. We ain't got long, so y'all doing good. Number two, I have to understand God's ability and man's responsibility. You got to understand that in any vision, you got to know God has the ability, but I have a responsibility. Because if we don't, we'll put everything on God. I want you to hear this good. In the Bible, if you follow the scripture, you'll find out that it's a God-word side and a man-word side in the Bible. The thing that we waiting on God to do, it's already done. He waiting on us to do what we need to do. Most time we waiting on God. Come on. It sounds real good. Just wait on him. But if he said it finished, that's what he mean. It's already done. We just need to obey the word of God. That's the only thing we need to do. We make this so hard. Man, it's simple. Amen. We complicate the word of God. Now, it's man's responsibility and God's ability. The Bible says God is able to do. So that means God want to do some things. Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. Now, I got to do some asking and thinking. I said it again, Ephesians 3:20, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works in me. So we see God has the ability, but I have a responsibility. Amen, somebody. This is good. Turn me your Bible to Mark 10:27. We'll close Mark 10:27. We'll close there. I'll pick up here next week. So now, if I'm going to continue with the vision, seeing the vision come to pass, I got to understand, I got to have clear direction. I mean, I got to see where I'm going. Because if I don't see where I'm going, it's going to take me longer to get there. I'm going to be all over the place. Are you listening to me? Have you seen people that God called them to be a pastor one day, and that day they're a van, that day they're a missionary, that day they're whatever? Because they don't have vision. They don't have a clear direction. I never changed the call. Now, God's shifting some things in my life now after 22 years, but I never wavered from the assignment. I didn't care what anybody else was doing. I didn't care the new move. I didn't care nothing about it. I just talked the Bible. That's all I did. Because I know there's nothing new under the sun. That's what the Bible say. So anything that you go through, somebody else already been through it. I'm the only one. No, you're not. This ain't never happened to nobody. Yes, it has. You may not know them, but it already happened. So you know, you got to have clear direction. Listen to me good. Clear direction. God, what have you spoken to me to do? I can't be all over the place where I need to be. I know I'm supposed to be here. That's why I'm here. It's not like I just drive back and forth, just ride 2.5 hours, just ride. No, this is an assignment. This is where I'm supposed to be. You think if I'm supposed to do this, people will be at Antioch now watching me on the screen. Why? I'm screaming back right now. Why? Because this is what I'm supposed to do. Ain't all over the place. With vision, you got to be focused. Don't let other people pull you off the track. They may be doing something different, you know. God, but you got to listen to God for yourself. But you got to have clear directions. Then number two, you got to be committed to this thing. You got to be committed. You can't let anybody get you on your commitment. Then number three, you got to have consistent financial support. If you don't, you can't do anything in the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody. Well, I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to go to, you can jot this down. Jot Mark chapter 10, verse 27 down. And it says this, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. I said, with God, all things are what?
Possible.
He said now, it's a promise. He said, all things are what?
Possible.
But you got to understand, possibility is only potential. Don't mean you still ain't got it. But I have to have faith. Man, I'm going to stop right there. See, we run with all things are possible. Possible means just mean it may be. Since I can have a seed in my hand, it's possible that this seed can produce watermelon, right? But if I don't plant it, you'll never get the results. So your possibility is not the promise. Your possibility is not the promise. So I just don't shout because it's possible. I apply. I use my faith in God, come on somebody, to receive the promise of the possibilities. Y'all got to get that. Y'all, I said y'all got to get that. I use my faith to receive the promise of the possibilities. Is it possible? The watermelon seeds will produce watermelons. That's possible, right? It's possible that orange seed will produce oranges. That's possible, right? It's possible that tomato plants will produce tomatoes. That's possible. So what I do, I shout all day because I got tomato plants. I can't eat them, right? I apply. I use my faith, come on somebody, to turn my possibility into promises so I can get results. Do y'all catch that? Give God praise if you caught that. I said, give him glory if you caught that. Because that was my life one time. I would go around and say, all things are possible. But what was possible, I'd never get it. I didn't know. I like, man, it's possible for me to have this. It's possible for me to get a new car. Possible for me to have this. Possible for me to go to college. Whatever. You know what I mean? But if I never use my faith to turn the possibility into promises, that's why then when I got results. Are you listening to me? Never like to end a broadcast without giving people the opportunity to know Jesus. In other words, to become a part of the kingdom. Nicodemus asked Jesus, what should a man do to be saved and enter the kingdom of God? Then he told him, you must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. So we want to pray a prayer with you. If you pray this prayer and believe it in your heart, the Bible said you will be saved. Just say this with me. Say, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. He died for my sins and he was buried and you raised him from the dead. Now, Lord Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. I'm born again. I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Ma'am or sir, if you said that prayer and you really believe it in your heart, why don't you inbox us, call us, and we'll send you some information to help you with your Christian walk. Our phone number is 843-629-9710.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you as you walk in your God-given purpose. Your support, love, and prayers are essential to Antioch Fellowship Church as we continue to reach the lost, make disciples, and enjoy life. Please visit us at www.antiochchurchonthemove.org.